from the American College of Cardiology. This is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org Editor-in-Chief, with this week's Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. This week, I've again focused on COVID-19. There are a number of important articles published this week that I think are useful to us. We'll talk about a study looking at the prevalence of the virus in Spain, a really interesting article looking at the incidence of stress cardiomyopathy during a pandemic, and a paper looking at the incidence of various arrhythmias in patients with COVID-19. So let's get started with the article that came out in The Lancet, and it's looking at the seroprevalence of a large population of people tested in Spain. This seroepidemiologic study looked at 35,000 households across 50 Spanish provinces and municipalities of various sizes. They looked at the incidence of individuals having positivity to two different serologic tests. One was a point-of-care rapid assay, and the other was an immunoassay. The sensitivity of the tests was 82% for the point-of-care, 90% for the immunoassay. The specificity for both was greater than 95%. Overall, they tested between 50 and 60,000 individuals, and the overall seroprevalence for the country was 5% by the point of care and 4.6 by immunoassay. Madrid and six other central provinces that had a higher surge, these had a 10% seroprevalence compared to the coastal regions, which were lower. The incidence in infants was 1.1%, and it plateaued to 6% in people age 45 or greater. Obviously, the seroprevalence was greater in people with a confirmed COVID-19 contact. Interestingly, those reporting a history of symptoms consistent with COVID-19 only had a prevalence of 17%. Only 20% of symptomatic patients who were seropositive reported undergoing testing. And interestingly, the proportion of individuals with a positive test who were totally asymptomatic was about 33%. So there are a couple of really interesting take-home points. First of all, the 5% rate across the country is low enough that herd immunity is not maintained or attained, and so the risk of surges continues to be highly important. Also, most people who have symptoms that they thought was COVID-19 are not seropositive. And most importantly, I suppose, is that the number of asymptomatic people is high. In Spain, it was 33%. We heard on the news over the weekend that it was 40%. And this, of course, is alarming in that people who apparently feel well can spread the virus. This really calls then for the importance of testing broadly and then contact tracing as well. So let's shift gears now and look at the incidence of stress cardiomyopathy during the pandemic. Anytime there is some type of crisis, whether it's earthquakes, hurricanes, etc., we often see an increase in the risk of stress-induced cardiomyopathy. And the pandemic, I guess, is no different. It's not a single moment in time, it's a period of time. And the investigators in this study looked at the incidence of Takotsubo cardiomyopathy, and they compared it to several historical controls. Two hospitals in a single state looked at the incidence of stress-induced cardiomyopathy over four time periods, one of them, of course, from March 1st to April 30th. This was the COVID-19 period. And they had three control groups, one in 2018, one in 2019, and one in 2020. And they looked at the incidence of Takotsubo using standard international criteria. A total of about nearly 2,000 patients with ACS were included, over 1,600 in the pre-COVID periods and 258 during the COVID period. Stress-induced cardiomyopathy was higher among patients with ACS in the COVID pandemic. It was 7.8%, whereas the incidence ranged between 1.5% and 1.8% in the pre-COVID time periods. This would suggest that there was an increased likelihood of this 3 to 4, even 5-fold during the pandemic. Also, patients with stress cardiomyopathy during the pandemic had a longer length of stay. So again, the pandemic is creating all kinds of problems. These people were tested to make sure they didn't have COVID-19. So they had stress-induced cardiomyopathy related to the pandemic, not related to the virus itself. Clearly, we see all kinds of challenges with mental health, with people staying home when they have symptoms consistent with the virus. They just don't want to come to the hospital. Obviously, we're seeing evidence that patients stay home with acute MI, possibly aortic dissection. And here's another consequence of the pandemic, and that is a significant bump in the rate of Takotsubo cardiomyopathy in the pandemic surge periods. The last paper I want to talk about is a paper that came out in the Heart Rhythm Journal looking at cardiac arrhythmias. And it's a nice study looking at 700 patients who'd been hospitalized with COVID-19 and asked the question, what were the frequencies of different type of arrhythmias? The average age of this study was 50, 55% were men, 70% were African American, 11% were in the ICU. And the incidence of cardiac arrest was 1%, AFib about 3.5%, bradyarrhythmias about 1%, and non-sustained ventricular arrhythmias about 1%. The patients who had cardiac arrests usually had non-shockable rhythms, including PEA and asystole, and they only had one patient out of 700 with torsade de pointe, even though 25% of the patients in this study were on hydroxychloroquine. So I think it gives you a flavor for the incidence of cardiac arrhythmias in patients with COVID-19. The incidence, of course, is higher if you're in an ICU on a ventilator. And even then, the overall incidence was modest, 3.5% with AFib. I think we've seen a lot of reports about acute myocarditis, et cetera. The frequency of those cardiac-specific complications of COVID probably have been a little bit overstated. And, you know, this is mainly a virus that hammers the respiratory system and other systems, include the kidneys. Cardiac manifestations are often secondary. Anytime we see patients with advanced respiratory illness on ventilators, of course, we see an uptick in AFib, et cetera. And the patients with the sickest disease, multi-organ failure, can die from PEA or asystole. Well, three articles, each looking at kind of a different facet of COVID-19, one looking at the epidemiology, one looking at stress cardiomyopathy during the period, and finally one looking at cardiac arrhythmias. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Go to our COVID-19 hub on acc.org. We have all kinds of information for you there, and you can find that as well as the journal scans related to these articles and the links to the articles themselves. I hope you have a safe and good week. I appreciate your listening to Eagle's Eye View every week. And until next week, I hope you have a good one. This is Kim Eagle. I'm out.